Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 176 of Dumb Marks Podcast. Title of the episode, Finally on the Road. I am your host today. I am the legend hater, the wrestling fan that hates wrestling, Donald. Simple as put it. Gentlemen, Chris, Steve, Jason, how are you doing today?
We need to get that shirt like Orton had, the legend killer, but the legend hater.
Can't stand all the legends, but we'll get into that with my jabroni.
Instead of Ash by Elegance, I believe there was a report by a news anchor Oscar Raymond a couple weeks ago that say that your cologne is hate by haters.
Yes, it is. It's true. It come out the big spray can like the mall used to come out to. Yeah,
spraying hate, just spraying hate wherever you go.
That's it. You've been in the game too long. Get out of here.
It's been 30 years. The gimmick can come back.
I'm surprised nobody's tried to pull that gimmick back off. I mean, I guess.
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze the closest to it? Tyler Breeze got to be the closest to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm currently reading up on the results from Elimination Chamber because I was not waking up at 5 a.m. to watch the show. So don't mind me through the intro.
Steve's that kid in class that's doing his homework as the teacher started off the class.
I'm rambling to fill in my answers.
I got 5 minutes before she walks by.
Yeah. Homeroom bell didn't ring yet. I got to get this done before I turn it in. Last night, it was SmackDown, it was No Surrender, it was Rampage. And by the time I got done with all that, it was like 1 a.m. And I woke up at 7, and I'm like, well, I already missed 2 hours. Let me just doze back off for a little bit, and then I'll start the replay right after. And, yeah, no, that little doze off for a little bit turned into me waking up at 20 after 10. Like, oh, crap. So, yeah. I'm gonna go back and rewatch it, but I think if we would have did a prediction show, everything I would have predicted came true.
Exactly.
Minus the Rock, Cody calling out the Rock.
I said to Donald before we got on. I asked him about it. I said, "Was it like Saudi Arabia?" Because Donald, what do you call Saudi Arabia?
The glorified house shows, and that's what we got. But
Taquan got a National Geographic and God reference in the first 3 minutes of this show. He's on point right now.
But we will get into Elimination Chamber talks in a bit. I want to start it off this week in wrestling. Three important events happened this week in wrestling back in history. So I will run through these events and we should talk about them, see how important they are.
We got history class right off the bat.
So we'll see. Yeah. So 22 years ago, Ring of Honor debuted. So had a start of a promotion, the debut. 25 years ago, Rey Mysterio was unmasked for the first time on WCW. And 39 years ago today, 39 years ago this week, Dr. David Schuller slapped the reporter John Stahl on ABC's 2020 for asking, "Is wrestling fake?"
That's a great Dark Side. I believe that was Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Great Dark Side of the Ring episode. That ties into this week. You want to talk about history repeating itself? The quote unquote Austin Theory reporter argument that was recorded and captured while they were in Australia leading up to the chamber. Some people were calling it a work. Some people were saying that it was a real back and forth and heated exchange. We saw Waller getting into it. Was it 2 months ago? Something like that? Yeah, with somebody else that said it was fake? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, history does tend to repeat itself, even in the world of pro wrestling, where stuff's scripted, it looks like it's the real stuff's repeating itself. So, that cost Schultz his job. I mean, he was, a guy that was relied upon back in the day. Kayfabe was still real back then.
Very real.
So, yeah. Look, I believe Michael Chandler said it best. So say what you will about Chandler and the promo he cut on Raw calling out Conor McGregor. He did, I believe it was either his podcast or somebody's podcast this past week. And he said, look, like, I was not necessarily a huge fan of wrestling and that. He said, but when you're sitting there ringside and you're watching what these guys do, it's real. Like, you could hear the thuds, you could see the slams, like, there's nothing fake about it, and they're underappreciated as far as what mm-hmm. they put their bodies through mm-hmm. on a night-in and night-out basis, men and women. So you get somebody like that from the MMA world where they're hesitant to I guess, cross that line, so to speak, and compliment wrestlers because of the scripted nature of it. It's not fake. The storylines are fake. The outcomes are fake. But the physicality is real. It always has been.
Look how many injuries there are. I mean, that just proves the shit that they put their body through day in, out. I mean, it's just ridiculous, like, the damage that does to the body.
And just think when you're there live, you don't have the, you don't have commentary distracting you. You hear everything.
Yeah.
You don't hear no commentary. You just hear chops, slaps, bumps, everything.
I was gonna say, sit that reporter front row and let Gunther throw a chop out there, and then tell me if it's fake, right? Like,
let Gunther throw a few chops on that reporter.
It's AJ Francis, okay? It's TNAJ Francis. Now get it right, okay? I'm not gonna disrespect AJ like that. He did get an AJ sucks chant on Impact on Thursday, which is crazy when you're hearing it in TNA.
I saw he's in MLW now too.
Yeah, I like this promo in MLW. I won't watch MLW anymore. To me, they're like the NWA. They're forgotten about. But I did like his promo he cut against Alexander Kane. It was really good. Done really well.
Don't I really thought like that reporter this week? It was gonna be a shoot. Or a work, yes. And it turned out looks like it's a shoot right now. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, because I expected something to happen during Chamber, you know, whether it was on the Grayson Waller report or something, but
mm-hmm.
just like, yeah. I mean, that's definitely one of those things that first changed wrestling, you know, the kayfabe era back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was just doing his job. People like, hey, he was protecting it.
Yeah.
He was protecting the business, and it cost him his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, are we seeing more and more wrestlers in the media? Like taking interviews?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because before it was just like you get like a Roman on Jimmy Kimmel, but now I'm seeing more and more wrestlers on Today's Show, or not Today's Shows, but like your local morning shows.
Yeah. Hyping up the events, yeah.
We're getting more of that now, so.
Yeah, yeah. Even in TNA, you've been seeing that a lot lately. They've been doing radio shows and stuff, promoting their events like they were doing it this past week in New Orleans. So just it's just that old school way of doing it, you know, and sometimes that's the best way to do it. Like go after the local people and, you know, just hype up the events, you know, so you can get those last minute tickets sold, you know, all the last minute changes.
Yep. And we've been around people who said it was fake. But as soon as we turn it on the WWE Network at the time, oh my gosh, look at that, honey. That was Roddy Piper. All that stuff. I used to watch this as a kid. And automatically, a complete 180 turn in like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm.
It draws you in. That's the thing. You can hate if you want to, but it's going to draw you in for something.
Yeah.
Even somebody like Gabby LaSpezia, who... she used to be the producer on Busted Open.
Mm.
And now she's off doing her own thing because she got, you know, Future Endeavored from there whenever they were serious, was doing cuts. But she was not a wrestling fan when she started as a producer of the show. She never watched wrestling, didn't care about wrestling, nothing. And now she's out there convincing and showing it to her group of friends and getting them invested, and she's not a 7-year-old kid seeing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what age you are, when it gets you, when they get the bug, right? Wrestlers say all the time, oh, I got the bug and I knew this is what I had to do. We as fans get the bug whether you start at 4 years old, like myself, you know, watching WrestleMania 3 for the first time, or you're 22 years old, just now watching Elimination Chamber. Like, when you get the bug, you get the bug. And once you get the bug, it's kind of hard to turn the fandom off.
Yeah.
Look, we've seen Gabby at a ton of events, too. It's like she travels now. It's not even like she just, you know, watches it every week. Like, she goes to them live. You know, puts in the work for it.
Yeah. So, it's not fake. Let's stop that. Because I know now
the actors and say that their movies are fake. You know, it's like...
And John Alba had that discussion with somebody. I forget who he was talking with. I don't know if he was getting interviewed or he was doing an interview. I saw the clip of it. But the guy was saying, well, it's fake. How do you watch that? And Alba was like, well, you go to the movies. He goes, but this is you know the outcome. And he's like, as a fan, I don't know the outcome. The performers may know the outcome, but that's no different than the actors reading the script.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's like, so you're not gonna go watch, you know, Top Gun 2 and say, I can't believe this, Tom Cruise isn't a real fighter pilot. Like, you're gonna watch and go, Maverick is getting nuts and pulling this anti-gravity and his F-18 over enemy terrain and coming out the other end an American hero. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you're gonna watch it, go, yo, Cody Rhodes, I love this dude. Like, I need to see him finish his story, or whoever it is. Like, your form of entertainment is your form of entertainment. This just so happens to be a form of entertainment that the four of us have watched and fell in love with since we were whatever age. So I don't try to argue with the people that say it's fake now.
Well, no.
Right? Like, I don't at all. I know.
Too old for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, this is my family. I do. This is my family.
Well, that's because it's family. But quick story. Like, years ago, right, when radio was still at its peak as being radio, right, Kevin Nash was on a local radio show here back in the day. This was WCW run era. And my uncle picked up the phone and called in. Now, my uncle, not a big wrestling fan. Like, if I had it on while I was at my grandma's house and he came in, you know, he'd stop and just kind of do it just to appease me growing up, right? But he called into the radio station and asked the question, like, yo, it's fake. And Nash broke it down and gave it to him and put the answer to him in a way where, from that point on, my uncle sat there and watched with my nephews. Like, Nash completely flipped them with the answer he gave. And I don't remember what the answer was that he gave, but, like, it was to where, okay, I get it now. Like, the light bulb went off for him. So when the light bulb goes off for you, then you become a fan and you're entertained and you watch it for either the matches, the stories, the characters, just like you watch any other sport. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Watch anything, really. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that something, like you said, gives you that bug to continue to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, shout out to Schulte for falling on the sword back in the day.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You slap a reporter now, it's a completely different story. Who knows? Depending on what side of the fence you're on, you may get cheered, others may boo you and demonize you. But
and there you go.
They're getting sued now.
There you go. Depending on what side of the fence you're on. Yeah. But those were three big things that happened this week in wrestling history.
Mysterio being unmasked is one of the dumbest things ever.
At that time, I was like, wow, I can't believe they unmasked Luchador.
It was one of the worst booking decisions ever. Bischoff still tries to defend it to this day.
That was WCW at his time.
Yeah, like, I get it. He was a good-looking young dude, and you wanted to draw in, you know, women fans, but, like, it just did nothing for him. He came out there without a mask and wore camo pants and joined the No Limit Soldiers. Like, what type of booking decision was that?
And at that time, too, like, WCW, I don't think they were, like, really selling – like the replica masks and stuff, like really, like getting like tons.
No, it did not. Yeah, was it like he immediately left, went to WWE. They put him in a mask. They put him back in a mask, and he's a multi-millionaire.
Yeah,
just on merch alone. Like, the man could have never wrestled a day in his life, and he'd be a millionaire just on the mask alone.
hilarious. But yeah. And then I read that Dom Mysterio doesn't wear a mask because he said he's too beautiful for a mask.
Dashing Dom Mysterio. There's his next gimmick.
Instead of Latino, instead of Latino heat, he's gonna come out the muy caliente.
All right, so let's get into these chamber talks. Elimination Chamber happened early this morning here in the States. Like I always call those type of events, glorified house show, because the winners of the match, the predictions and all that stuff was clear cut.
So did the three Ians actually watch the show live?
No. I didn't.
I had to watch the dogs. Walk the dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I watched. So for Donald and Jay, let me ask you this, because last year Puerto Rico was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Gave me my moment of the year and my entrance of the year in that show with Zelina Vega and then Bad Bunny and just that crowd and the energy and everything else that came with that show. Were they the same way? Like, was that crowd as rabid as the Puerto Rican crowd? And I know wrestling in Puerto Rico has a long-standing history, so there's more of a – I don't want to say there's more of a fan base, but it's more ingrained in that culture, per se, than it may be in Australia.
No, they weren't as rabid, but they were there.
They were there? Okay.
They had their chance and all that stuff. They had their chance for certain wrestlers and everything, but like Jason said, they wasn't as rabid as Puerto Rico was. Plus, it was in a stadium too, so you know you lost sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch the press conference on Thursday night?
I did not.
No. I caught clips.
No. They were pretty rowdy at that press conference. Mm. It was a little big. It was a lot of people there, but especially in front of the crowd, in front of the stage. Mm. They were going pretty hard. Excited for the event.
They sang Cody's theme song on cue.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico was the crowd that if you had to make a switch just off the fans alone mid-match, you'd pull it there because of the fans. Mm-hmm. They were take over the show type rabbit. Yeah. This wasn't that extreme, but they showed up. They were there. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine wrestling for an hour in Australia in 100 degree weather.
Yeah, they said it was very, very humid there. Especially I'm
reading through the recap, and they're like, "Yeah, the women's chamber match went about an hour in 100 degree weather." I'm like, "There's no way!"
they were still daylight.
No way.
It's insane.
You might be surprised about the Tiffy Town pop.
Oh, well, man! Apparently, she was the main event of the match.
She was. She was.
She was the MVP.
She was.
They loved her.
She hey, showed look, up. You did she anything. Showed up. She showed out.
There's some. And this is what you never know when you get people called up to the main roster, right? Mm-hmm. There's some people, when they get up to the main roster, they rise and elevate because the competition that they're facing is better. A la what Tiffany has done since her first match on SmackDown. Say what you will about her and Liv on SmackDown last night, but when she's in there with the bigger stars, she doesn't feel like she doesn't belong. Braun Breaker in a squash match last night on SmackDown, it's like, okay, you can see not – all right, get away from the squashes. I don't need Braun doing any more squashes, okay? Especially to Dominic Chen, who I didn't even know was still on the roster. Where'd they pull him from? But I need Braun in there with somebody now. Because Tiffany is just rising. She's elevated and met every single check mark as far as a call-up, debut, mic work, presence, in-ring work, she's hit it all. She's already had an oh shit moment doing a freaking the moonsault off of the top of the chamber.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about Julia Hart being most improved. That's Tiffany Stratton, and that's a year. She came back, what, New Year's Revolution or New Year's thing last year. Full year, nonstop, just straight tippy time.
And yeah, just started on the main roster, so we can see how her improvement is as the year goes on here too.
Yeah, she if she continues ascending and they book her and give her stuff, you can see her name being thrown around in these year end award quote unquote shows that they do. And there's not a, you know, say what you will about the release of the awards that came out this week, which I don't know if we'll get into or not, because I have a lot of hate for that. I'm going to borrow Donald's cologne and just douse myself in it when we talk about that.
Yeah. So you want to get into the women's chamber match then? I mean,
well, look, it was a foregone conclusion. They gave away the ending before the match. When you had Becky come out in Vegas and they had their face off, it's like, all right, why are we even doing the match?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they
even gave it before that. Whenever she called out, whenever she called Rhea out, was like, I need to win the Rumble because I need to fight you. That was it. You already seen it.
This is the thing I hate about this year's. I enjoyed the pay-per-view, but it was not that it was predictable. You just knew. They gave you the storyline ahead of time. Right. And, like, there was no other – like, maybe on Monday I was like, okay, maybe Becky or maybe Bianca or maybe Liv because they have story. But it came – like, when they showed up Friday, I'm like, you already putting Liv and Bianca at odds. It's Becky.
Mm-hmm. It's like you Elimination Chamber has always been one of these, like, it's a stop on the road to WrestleMania. It's not changing a whole lot. But, it's like, at least doing it in Australia, you gave it a big event feel. You know, and they did the same thing last year in Saudi too. And it's like, at least you're giving it a big event feel, but the outcome's still the same.
Yeah, but before like this, I'd have to go back and watch some of the other like more recent chamber matches. I don't think there's been one that's been as blatantly obvious as who's going to win.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. Even when you go back to Kofi Mania, when that all started with the chamber, like he didn't win that. But the momentum built there based off of that performance, right? Like, good or bad, you can say they tipped their hand. You know, I'm going to rewatch it and see if it has any impact on the matches, knowing who was going to win. Apparently, from what I've read so far, the women's match was good, minus the slow start. But, yeah, I mean, you knew who was going to cook and who wasn't as far as predictability goes, so. There's that. Mm-hmm. So we got Cody calling out The Rock. Is Cody main event in both nights by himself now?
Only to not finish the story. Give it to me. Give it to me. I need that hate.
I mean, let me pause and back this up. Is this seeds being planted and then they'll harvest it for SummerSlam, and you'll get Cody versus The Rock at SummerSlam?
No, you're going to get Rock versus Roman at SummerSlam.
I think seeds are being planted what Chris was saying last week, that Rock is going to screw Roman for Cody to win at Mania.
Well, he did rub the L instead of the one.
Exactly. Looked at Roman.
Yeah. That conspiracy theorist, that man, you.
So it's going to be Cody and Rock back and forth with each other, but they're actually in cahoots with each other.
So this is the big plan that Rock consulted Cody about?
Because
that's what I said. I was like, that's why you're not hearing about it now, because you'll hear about it on the Raw after Mania.
Because Cody was going to answer that question, and then Waller cut him off. He was like, Waller was like, why did you take a back seat to The Rock? And he was like, well, I was, and then he got cut off. So he was going to say something, but got cut off.
Here's what's going to happen night one. The Rock is putting Cody on the shelf.
Fuck you, Stuart. Are we gonna do the WrestleMania 10 where Owen Hart injures Bret Hart's leg and then he comes back out for the main event and wins the title with one leg? Is that what we're gonna do? Night one, Cody gets injured, he can't go. We're just gonna have Roman night go out two, there getting ready to put up the ones as the champion, and then Cody's music is gonna hit.
24 hours
later. Always gets over at these 10 events.
You're getting your Robert at Mania.
I mean, if MJF can win on one leg, then why can't Cody?
If Cody can win with a torn, if Cody can wrestle with a torn pec, he can beat Roman for the title.
So because this is a stop on the road to WrestleMania, right? Even though the Rumble started the road, I don't know why we're finally on the road again. Did this show do anything to build excitement for WrestleMania, or was it just, let me pull over and take a bathroom break on my drive to WrestleMania?
It's a stop on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's the way it always is.
It's just to get out the car and get some snacks, and yeah, that's it.
Stretch them legs.
I kind of call exactly what it was.
Stretch your leg, buy a pack of Twizzlers, get back in the car, fill up the gas.
No rest stops until WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I kind of fell asleep on the men's. So I caught like the end, but I didn't see anything. So I didn't. I don't know if they built anything within the match. Anything else?
No. Yeah, they.
They did.
They did. Okay. Logan Paul cost Orton the match. Yeah, he came. He came back in and punched him with the brass knuckles, and then Orton fell out, and Drew covered him for the win.
Okay. So Drew's not above to resorting to taking the shortcuts anymore, even though he had a great justification for it in his social media promo he covered walking down the streets.
Did you support with LA Knight? Once Bobby got eliminated, AJ came in and was beating LA Knight with the chair. And then Drew got the pin on it. Then Drew got the pin on LA Knight because of that.
I don't need LA Knight and AJ to continue. Why isn't LA Knight and Logan Paul the focus going into Mania? I don't need Orton and Paul.
That's what it's looking like.
I want to see Orton and Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a good match, but.
Orton don't need the U.S. title.
No, he don't.
This is what we talked about with L.A. Knight. You had him. Obviously, for reasons, you chose not to go with him. What are you going to do to keep him hot enough to where it's worthwhile for him and the fans to stay invested? And him continuing this feud with AJ is not it.
The fans are going to chant, yeah, no matter what.
Yeah. But you had the Daniel Bryan groundswell. Well done. You had the groundswell. It's there. He wasn't even on Mania last year. So putting him on against AJ this year just seems like a huge fall from grace where he's wrestling for the title not that long ago. So,
I'd rather see AJ in a more profile match too. But, I mean,
That's LA Knight hate.
Yeah, I thought they were finally going to move on like from that, because in my heart, I thought AJ was going to fight Rainmaker at WrestleMania.
Proto, what up? Loving what you're doing on your stuff. Keep rocking and rolling with you and your fellows as well. Anything else from Chamber that we want to get into that you guys saw that's newsworthy or need to dive into?
No.
And that's the last one before Mania, right?
For now.
We're on.
It should be all roads ahead to Mania now. Everything.
You get a roadblock or a.
Roadblock is NXT.
Oh,
it's NXT. Yeah, they mentioned that on Tuesday.
They'll throw that last minute Peacock special event right in, the old Saturday Night's main event back in the day, right before WrestleMania.
Yeah, you want to talk about this week in history, Donald? I saw there were clips going around with this week in history was when the Mega Powers formed. When Macho Man took the headshot from Honky Tonk and Elizabeth brought Hogan out. And Hogan has the dumbest look on his face. Like, why are you walking me to the ring? And then he sees what's going on and you see his face change. Like, not on my watch, brother. I'm going to go down here and make the save. It's like, oh, like, you acted better You had better acting in Suburban Commando than you did in that freaking moment right there, Terry.
Jason sits down there just like, I hate this man. Don't make me like remember the good times.
But you believed it then.
Yes, back then it was believable. Yeah. Talk once at Super Brawls before Mania. All right, so you guys want to get into Jabroni and Mount Rushmore's of the week?
Sure. Which way you want to go first?
Let's start with Mount Rushmore's. You first.
I can't even.
You can't even think of one.
I'm gonna give my honorable mention. Is Nia Jax on there Monday night spamming leg drops like she was Hogan on a leg louver? I loved every minute of it. I'll put Gunther versus Jay, and then the whole thing with Jimmy up there is my Mount Rushmore. I want to see where this goes.
You got mine. Mine was more of Jimmy's performance of making it more of an Uber heel.
Yeah,
Uber heel. I mean the night was perfectly. Yeah, the perfect McAfee. This son of a bitch. Like, that was
classic. Classic jail.
Like that, if that's not like that, it totally encapsulates what Pat McAfee brings on commentary. He's a fan on commentary. You saw him on the table before the match started doing the hands.
Gunther just staring him down.
Gunther staring at him, and he was like, oh.
And then Gunther taking the clip and turning it into social media, which has been tremendous from WWE talent recently. Stooge.
when they first broke up, I was like, okay, Jay's over here being serious, and Jimmy turns into a joke. I hated that, but Jimmy is so funny that he's there's R-Truth, and then there's Jay Uso or Jimmy Uso,
and it's different, because he's the heel side of like what R-Truth is doing.
But Jay, it's funny that you bring that up because R-Truth and I believe it was R-Truth and Jay were giving answers to questions in that, like on one of those short clip things that the WWE would throw up. And one of the questions was, who's the funniest guy? And they both said, Jimmy. Like, R-Truth was like, Jimmy is by far the funniest guy. And then you see Jimmy, after Solo takes out Cody and everything else, and they're walking up the ramp, and Jimmy got the handout for the dap up.
Yeah.
And the dap up never comes. And he just leaves the hand in this awkward shape. Never gets to dab up. And then what's he do on SmackDown last night? Goes in to dab up Roman the same way. No dab up. Just hand, just hanging. Just
Tuesday, someone posted, rumor has it, Jimmy's still waiting for the dab.
Like, did you see what happened after Raw? They beat up Cody came out. So Jimmy's playing Ultra Hill. Cody comes out.
That's not canon.
But I'm saying they're getting old. You're getting over on Jimmy. So Jimmy's like, wait a minute. He gets up in the corner, start doing Jay's thing, try to appease both of them. I'm like, he's turning back into the comedy gimmick, but at least it's off air.
You don't need that.
No. You guys brought up R-Truth. Did you see his video from yesterday where he went to Austria?
Him in the car. He's like, guys, I don't know what I should do. I'm in Austria. I went to the arena.
Why nobody?
There's nobody there. Tremendous. And him walking around with that damn poncho on in that interview on Monday night. How you don't like R-Truth.
Should I cry for in the finale of This Is Us? This Is Us.
So, Jason, your Mount Rushmore is the Raw main event.
Yeah.
And everything that happened. Okay. Mine was the whole Jimmy stuff afterwards with him coming in. Okay. Steve, Chris?
Go ahead, Chris, because I got it.
All right. Mine's something that wasn't actually in wrestling this week, but something that happened. And I'm giving it to the It Factor, the glorious one, Bobby Roode, for officially kind of announcing that he's done. You know, he said he's cleared to wrestle. But in an interview this week, he said this is the reason why he came to WWE, to be a producer backstage, and he doesn't want to chance anything. So even though he's cleared,
right now. He said never say never, though.
I mean, that's everybody in wrestling. He might get that one off, but he was
I would not mind hearing Glorious one more time at a Royal Rumble just to come in, you know, knock a few people around, hit a spine buster, and get tossed over the top rope. I wouldn't mind that. Wants one more, you know, thing. But yeah, that's, I mean, 2 years for 2 years for a neck fusion to get healed up and actually get medically cleared at 48 years old kind of tells you, hey, it's time to wrap it up. And the fact that he's at peace and achieved what he wanted to do coming into the company.
Exactly.
Cool. I got no hate for that.
So, you know, it's like we talked about when Triple H had to walk away. It's just like a lot of people prefer to be on their time. You know, you don't always get that, though.
Right.
And, you know, but at least even though it wasn't on his time whenever he wanted it to happen, at least he got the result that he wanted. So.
Yeah. Matt Riddle beating Tanahashi.
That surprised. There was a few things, title changes this week that surprised me.
There's a lot of title changes.
So my Mount Rushmore this week is pro wrestling as a whole. All right? Pro wrestling as a whole. And I'm just going to go through a list. Now, this doesn't count anything from this morning because I didn't watch the chamber, right? You had Cody and Drew open Raw with their match. Jay and Gunther, Gable and Ivar. Three bangers Monday night. NXT Tuesday, you had great character work from Ilya, Melo, and Roxanne. Loved everything all three of them did on Tuesday night. Wednesday, FTR versus Mox and Claudio. Christian promo, Wardlow promo, Sting promo. All three hit it out of the park. Thursday, Athena and Nyla in the tables match in ROH. Tremendous. New Japan, Riddle and Nick Nemeth winning gold. And then TNA No Surrender last night. ABC versus GYV, outstanding. Alexander and Gotch. The entire pay-per-view last night was fantastic. But I'm going to go with Ali and Sabin. First off, first ever time the X Division title main evented a pay-per-view in TNA. Ali winning the belt. His first major title in 20 years with a major company.
Almost 20 years for the next division to main event again.
Yep. And then the match itself was unbelievable. Like, they absolutely killed it and crushed it. Ali gave a good promo afterwards after it went off air. That's floating around online. You can go back and watch that. But just start of the week to the end of the week, pro wrestling as a whole, I was entertained. But if you're asking me to pick one thing, I'll throw Ali and Saban out there from No Surrender last night.
He took the long way around us to get to the match that we lost.
Well, no, I had to pick one because I know I'm seeing the comments pop up. DC answer, participation trophy guy, this, that, and the other. Like, but I could have broke this down. I could have gave him Mount Rushmore for promo this week. I could have gave Mount Rushmore for pay-per-view this week. I could have gave Mount Rushmore for in-ring match this week. Like,
tune in at 1 o'clock when Steve goes live with his weekly rack up.
And I had the same stuff Donald and Jay had on their Mount Rushmore. Like, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, this was a fantastic week to watch. Straight through.
It was good. It was.
Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a night.
Watch everything until it was Friday, but yeah, it
was good. There wasn't a night where I felt like, why did I waste my time watching wrestling? Not that everything was a home run.
Yeah.
For all 12 hours that wrestling was on this week, but still, like.
But it fit their promotion. It fit their.
Right. Yeah. Like, you had me with various things through various shows, whether it was in ring work Monday night, character Tuesday night.
Can I change my Mount Rushmore to tie?
Donald takes one spray of hate by haters, and it just it permeates everybody.
Oh, All right, so that's our Mount Rushmore for this week.
I'm going to put y'all on my jabroni list. How about that?
Jag off. Jabroni.
I'll go first with jabroni. WWE promoting the 2K24 ratings like their PFF grades on Sunday Night Football. And why is Gunther and Logan Paul rated the same?
Logan Paul was a 90.
Yeah, they're the same rating. They're both a 90.
Hey, my boy convinced me. He was like, champ and champ.
No, hell no.
You got to say for me.
Hell no.
Undefeated until today.
Yeah, let's not turn the WWE 2K24 ratings into the Madden ratings where you get people all up in arms. And then, you know, next thing you know, I'm going to see Drew out there cutting a promo on why he's rated an 89. I don't need that.
You got you.
Leave it off the screen.
It was just crazy seeing the discrepancy in the women's, like, chamber. Like, Bianca's 95, and you got somebody down here like 73.
Yeah, Raquel's a 52. Like, what are we doing?
That was thing. That was Stratton. Stratton was a 79.
They got to
after today.
They're going to bump her up like they did. Did they bump up AJ last year?
Yeah. No. So I could have gave it to the, to the Flair Young Bucks Sting angle promo from Wednesday night. Flair just ain't. I'm so disappointed in Sting. I should have been involved more. Ain't been around in 4 weeks. Nobody wants you around, Rick. Like, take your old ass out of here. Now I got legend hate.
Hey,
legend. Tom's like, welcome to the dark side.
Welcome.
Yeah. So that it's the 2K24 ratings, and they more. To narrow it down, Gunther and Logan Paul being the same.
Chris, Jason?
I'll continue this because mine's kind of based off some ratings too, not same thing. I'm going to go with the Wrestling Observer Newsletter fan voted year-end awards that came out this week. Specifically.
Tony Storm?
The fickle fans out there.
Yep.
With Tony Storm. She's number 3 on the worst gimmicks of the year. And number 1, best gimmick of the year.
And number 1, she won the best gimmick of the year, but also is in the top 5 for worst gimmick of the year.
Here you go. You got Tony. You got Timeless Tony.
No, it was Timeless Tony.
Yeah, it was Timeless Tony Storm.
Tony was number 2. Timeless Tony won. When I was looking at that, I was like, hold on. But they just said Tony Storm, so I took that as Tony Storm as the worst gimmick. I took Timeless Tony as the winner.
I will say the way that they shot her and Deanna on Wednesday
on the ramp
coming down the ramp was fucking great. Cool.
They've been doing gold with that.
I know it sucks for the people in the audience because you don't get the delineation, but to have that shot split down the middle, half in black and white, half in color, was really cool visual from Wednesday night.
And then as soon as Deanna left, it all went black and white.
It all went to black and gray, yeah. As soon as she came out.
That's good production work. That is great production work there. That is good.
I was in the same boat with the Wrestling Observer Awards. Like, WWE won promotion, booker,
Hold on. Did you see the graphic? It was the first time. Now, this had to have been a typo. But it was the first time WWE won promotion of the year since 2001. I looked it down and I said, wait a second. Weren't they the only promotion around in 2001? Like, 21 through 2010. What are we?
American promotion. What
other promotion? Year after that. Let me see the list. Let me see the list from 2002 to 2023 of other promotions.
And who's watching promotions?
Yeah.
IWC in Pittsburgh won a few years.
Cobb Wrestling out of Chicago. I think New Japan won it a couple years. I know AEW's won it, in recent time, but I'd say that has to be a typo. There's no way this is the first time they won promotion of the year since 2001.
AEW won it back in 2005, I think.
And they keep giving Bryan Danielson the Bryan Danielson Award.
What's the point of having?
Even though he lost to Zack Sabre Jr. and he came out and said, "I'm no longer the best technical wrestler in the world," we're gonna give it to Danielson anyway.
Give it to him.
what are you doing? Yeah, their awards every year they get announced just piss me off, and I think they do it just to piss me off.
Like, yeah, this one was the fan voted, so it's just like
they should know better.
Fickle.
I think how do you get to the voting process? Do you gotta subscribe or something?
Yeah,
there's a form in the magazine that or something that you gotta fill out.
It's Publishers Clearinghouse.
You still gotta subscribe to a magazine?
I think so. Yeah.
With the middle cardboard that falls out of every damn magazine.
You take it out and register.
Mail it. You're keeping stamps in business.
Somebody, I thought the best tweet I saw about those awards that came out was it gave the non-wrestler of the year and Don Callis was number one. And somebody quote tweeted it and said, "How did Roman Reigns not win this award?" It's like that's when Twitter is done right. That right there is Twitter done right.
You put Callis over Heyman?
Yeah, it was Callis was over Heyman.
Oh, I mean, I see that. Did you do that?
Yeah, Nana was third.
Over, I hate Prince Nana. You don't put Callis over Prince Nana.
Stokely's number one for me just off the Burger King in Newport's line.
Yeah. Speaking of Stokely, so they announced Wednesday night AEW announced the Meat Madness match for Revolution, right? And then, first off, I'm all here for this. I already booked this match out, okay? Wardlow and Hobbs were already announced for it. I'm adding Miro to it. I'm adding Lance Archer to it. And there may be a fifth. Surprise Meat running.
Who's the dude in Ring of Honor? Shane
Taylor.
Yeah, Shane Taylor. Or him and Willie Mack.
Yep, Willie Mack, right? Just get all the meat in there for Meat Madness. But Stokely tweeted out
his enough meat.
Pause. Stokely tweeted out his training regimen for the Meat Madness match. It's tremendous. It was like it had a list of stuff, and then it just said 219 Burger King Whoppers, and I started cracking up. I'm like, he's not letting the Burger King get McDonald's. He said Eddie Kingston smells like a pack of Newports and Burger King, and now he's eating Whoppers to train for the Meat Madness match.
He needs to get that Burger King sponsorship. That's what he needs.
Tremendous, tremendous stuff. So yeah.
All right. So my jabroni is, of course, NXT Tuesday. During a tag match, had this team come in and interrupt the match. Not interrupt the match, but at the end, Anderson and Gallows on NXT. I really just wanted to bang my head off of a wall. I was like, how are you going to have two guys who can't make it up on the main roster? So they go down to, quote unquote, help out talent and all that stuff in the NXT. Again, to me, that is just nothing but taking young people spots on there.
I'm with Taquan on this. They've been collecting checks and catering.
Hey, you can collect checks.
At least send them down there to wrestle and have them, you know, brother. You got to do something because Braun and Corbin aren't going to carry the belts that long.
Man, they look good on Superstars and Main Event. They don't need to be down to NXT. This ain't development. You know
it's bad whenever Donald gives NXT the jabroni.
Well, I mean, you need a heel because the fans then booed all the faces over Braun and Corbin.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn about nobody else.
I mean, so down there, man, they got another Gallus to me. I mean, just sit and watch paint dry. I can't.
That's Donald's going to be Donald's match of the year is going to be the Good Brothers versus Gallus in a 2 out of 3 falls.
In a Tyson Club match.
In a brother beer match, they're just gonna be in the pub.
Yeah. Look at that! I can already see that coming. You bringing this to life?
It's coming.
It's just coming. Yep. So just like Booker, whenever I knew they came down and beat Pretty Deadly, man,
here you go. Spots. Gallows and Anderson versus OTM doesn't get your blood boiling? That don't get the excitement up?
Not at all. So, yeah. There's just, God, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it makes NXT worse.
Such a hater. Such a hater.
Hey, I like Carl. I hate Festus, man. Festus done nothing to me.
You still call him Festus?
He's always Festus. Huh? He calls me Festus.
He might wear his diesel pants. Gets me.
I thought we were doing something with them on the main roster. They had the confrontation with AJ in the locker room. Like, I thought we were going to get a little, you know, so that way that the OC can finally go away.
They did. They just went to NXT on their
own. Yeah, I guess.
But why not keep them up there whenever the tag team division is getting built up real nice again?
I don't know. I did, speaking of tag teams, I did see last night, gave me a glimpse into the future, and I tweeted it out that I need this to happen. Even though I absolutely hate it, I need Logan Paul, Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller as a faction, call themselves the influencers, and every time they go out, they only stream on Instagram Live. That's a perfect heel gimmick for those three guys.
That's going to be your speed. All their matches on speed.
No match, just all talk.
But I need those three together. Because the interaction with KO was fantastic. KO walks away, and then it dawns on him, like three Jersey Shore bros. We should have jumped them right there. It's like, if three of us were him, we should have jumped them. Why didn't we jump them? They're like, yeah, we should have jumped them. Like, and then Heyman walked out and stood next to him, and I was like, ooh, those three? Yeah, give me – I'm here for all the hate right there with them. If you're going to start throwing factions together. Yeah. And people bitching about the Street Profits coming out to their original music again. Listen, WWE does not have a music producer right now that can make a good music theme. No. So, yes, you're going to get the old music because they got nobody to make new music.
They all use The Weeknd for WrestleMania themes. Hey, can you make a couple themes for us?
They need to do something.
I think new theme music. Stratton had new music.
She today. Did.
Yeah.
Was it good?
I like the old theme better.
Yeah, I think yeah. This
for me,
this,
I like
was the very generic.
I like the old theme. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, that's my opinion. I like the old theme better.
Whew. When's the last time they've had a theme change that was like, oh shit, this is a banger?
Trick. That's about it.
Roman.
But that's not the same. The same person that did Roman's isn't there no more.
Yeah. No, yeah, they got rid of all their
people. I mean, look at all the more recent ones. Like DIY stinks. Yes. Pretty Deadly stinks. Who else got new theme music that's just terrible? Like, they need to get that fixed.
Yeah.
That hurt them back at the Rumble. Themes got played and nobody knew who the hell it was because they're not identifiable no more.
Mm-hmm. It's very generic.
Yeah. Is generic, it's the same.
They're on chat music GPT just typing in, okay, blonde, 5'6", does flips off his top rope, and calls herself Tiffy Tom. Here's your theme music.
Triple H knows the importance of theme music, so he should be able to get this produced.
They want to call out people for not knowing AEW or wrestlers that AEW throw on a screen, but you can't recognize theme music the instant it hits.
And no WWE, I can't.
No music is that generic where you can't recognize where it, like you know, I'm going to just say it like they say it. You're not a fan.
Look, there were times
I knew every single theme music. As soon as that first three notes hit. Before they appeared on screen, I knew who was coming out.
Yeah, name that tune. That. I was naming it in one tune.
Yeah.
Chris, now, you don't draw anyway. You know Cody's music.
No lies.
No.
I can name Seth and I can name Cody.
Chris is brushing his teeth in the morning.
Hell no, I still do the Triple H whenever I got a rinse.
Oh man. Yeah, they gotta get that fixed though.
Well, so those are our jabronis. All right, so it's time for game time. I did a what if, since we are finally on the road to WrestleMania.
Now
we all know the historical significance and all that stuff, the DVDs that came out, but I just want to hear you, your guys' opinion. What if WrestleMania 1 was a failure?
There's no WWE.
You try again.
You can't. Vince sunk all his money into it. There was no money there. That was the all-in moment. That was, this is what I have. I'm betting the house. I'm betting every cent that I can find in the couch cushions. I'm doing it. I'm all in. There's the $5 in my winter jacket from 4 years ago that I forgot was even in there. Like, that's it. If that doesn't succeed, then there's nothing. Wrestling as we know it is either not around or it's still territorial and very small. You don't get the boom that was pro wrestling.
I also don't think there you would have seen Ted Turner purchase WCW. You know, just like that wouldn't have happened either, you know, because he bought it, I think, because of the boom that Vince created with WrestleMania.
I mean, go back and look at the celebrities that came in for WrestleMania 1. Like, it literally was the all-in of all-ins. I don't like talking about McMahon positively now with everything that's gone on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if that doesn't succeed, they don't – they're not around. There's no Stone Cold. There's no The Rock. There's no John Cena. No Tribal Chief. You know, no Hogan. No Savage. Like, it's not there.
I would like to see that multiverse, though.
I think
where each one of them go and how they end up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think WrestleMania as the name and that stuff would have failed, but I think back then Vince was smart enough that it would have came back, but it would have just came back as SummerSlam. SummerSlam would have been the number one PLE pay-per-view. It would have did it. It would have took some time, but I think SummerSlam would have been the number one. And then wherever WrestleMania was at would have been something else.
The Mars.
No WrestleMania.
What up? Mm-hmm. I think wrestling has still been around because there was still people enjoying it. But would it be this grand of a scale? I don't think so. But I think there was still a clamoring for it. So if Vince didn't do it, somebody else would have had, may have had something,
because they would have solved it,
but not as big, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you think maybe it could have still stayed on the territory system, like Steve was saying?
Yeah, I don't think you get cross country, like one cross country promotion that everybody watches. Mm-hmm. It would be your Georgia Championship Wrestling, your Florida Championship Wrestling, your Mid South, you know. All your pockets where you have your you know, Portland area, California, Kansas City, like, you're not going to get coast-to-coast one promotion if Mania doesn't succeed.
I think somebody would have got big enough to be like a coast-to-coast.
And even at that point, correct me if I'm wrong, but even at that point, Vince poached all the top people, right? So, like, weren't the territories drying up as they were anyways by the time he put on WrestleMania 1?
Yeah, because he brought in Hogan from AWA.
So, I mean, you had Hogan there. Like, you had, like, Piper. Like, you had guys that were already there. I mean.
Yeah, you had everybody but, what, Flair, Horseman.
Yeah, I mean, they had, Dusty. Like, look at the main event alone were all guys that were outside of WWF.
But had it failed, you know, these guys probably would have went to a different territory then. You know, they wouldn't, Vince couldn't have kept them around if there was no money in the company, if the company would have folded. You know, they would have went back to whether they went back to AWA or Championship Wrestling from Florida or whatever.
And wasn't no, that was Survivor Series that they put on instead of whatchamacallit. Not Brawl, yeah, Brawl for All, right? Her what was the
WCW's Clash of the Champions?
Clash of the Champions was Survivor Series they put on for as the the counterpoint to Clash.
Then they did Starcade.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It would definitely be different.
Would somebody have had the idea to poach everybody? Maybe not, but you've seen it with the NBA, you've seen it with the NFL. Somebody would have merged and created something bigger.
That might have been it. They would have just
so you're saying together. Eventually WCW would have came together. I mean, WCW would have came about.
I don't, but on the flip side of that coin, look at it this way, since you brought up the NFL, right? The Super Bowl, if the Super Bowl is not successful, then like you look at back in the day, the USFL, you have even now with the spring leagues, like they're not successful because they're not the NFL. But we know the NFL is the NFL because of the Super Bowl and what they've done. So like is football as we know it. The same if that's not successful. Like
I feel like there'd have to be a place to go. Like if this is what you want to do, there has to be a place to go where you are the top, best of the best. Now whoever that company is, that's the company. But I feel like eventually somebody would get there in each sport, each genre. Like this is the peak. This is where I want to be. And that grows.
A lot of like the old guys, they liked the territory system because they liked that territory system because like, if their gimmick got stale, then they could just go to another territory and refresh it. You know, or
clip it a week right there. The Rock's telling the Rocks.
I have a pocket for the corpse.
Tremendous. Good question. Good question.
Mm-hmm. Since we're on the road, you know, do something towards that.
Won't be on the road to 40 if one didn't actually work out.
Yeah. Ricochet. Jesus Christ.
You got Jason on that one.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I guess we didn't clarify what kind of rocks the Rock would be selling. That's a good point, Mars.
I like that more. Like I'm saying,
that's exactly like what I was thinking there.
I say WWE is the gateway drug. And when you want your hardcore stuff, that's when you venture off to bang bang bang. WWE gets you in.
What are we talking about? Hardcore bang bang bang.
Not on my show.
This turned into an episode of the Dare program. How did we get here? Like, what do we...
You do that next week when you host.
There's the title for next week. Hardcore bang bang bang.
I just now realized you had on your Tiffy Time shirt. Like, this dude.
Oh, yeah. It's choking me, though. I don't know what size I got. So I keep on talking.
Pause. It's choking me. I don't know what size you got. It's just a brutal pause. Wow.
All right.
Jason's OnlyFans link will be put in the comments.
Speaking of that, did you see the backlash on Cena?
I saw Orton said that he wants to make content with him.
Yeah. So Cena got a new movie coming out, right? And I forget the name of it. I saw the trailer. It looks pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But
Who's
Ricky Stenicki or something like that? But anyways, in the movie, this guy, these group of friends. So say it was the four of us, right? And we were all married. Now I know you guys aren't married. I'm the only married guy on this list, but they're all married, and they come up with this best friend, Ricky Stenicki, who doesn't exist. but they use him as a way to escape and go do different guy things together, right? So they've been lying to their wives for years. Like, Ricky Sneak, he got this, you know, wedding here, or he's in the hospital with cancer, we got to go visit him there, or all this stuff. Well, it catches up to them to where they have to actually hire somebody to be Ricky Sneaky. So one of the things, one of the lines in the trailer is that he has an OnlyFans account. So Cena, staying in character, went out and signed up for OnlyFans as Ricky Sneaky.
Because I think he plays as a male stripper in the movie. So I think that's like supposed to be.
And so people saw that he created an OnlyFans account and were, oh, how could you do this when all these allegations against Vince? And it's like, yo, people, relax.
There you go, relax.
Can I put this in your head that OnlyFans is not a.
It's not just for
sex stuff. Yeah.
That's what it's known for, but it's not what it's.
That's what it popped off for. Popped off for.
Literally.
It's not a.
Yeah. But that's, yeah. That's
shame tremendous. How you guys view OnlyFans. Or content creators.
This guy coming from the secret McDouble Instagram menu? What are we talking about?
The McDouble.
This guy, every time he opens up his phone in public, he got to hover over it. Like it's the codes in the briefcase to the nuclear weapons.
The nuclear football.
Yeah.
Jason just now in the corner just needs to be like that Game of Thrones character. Shame. Shame.
Yeah. I thought the Martha Stewart to watch her cook. So that's it. I'm not on there for. Never mind.
Yeah, you are. Drink.
Let's be honest. You're watching Martha Stewart because of Snoop Dogg.
True.
Yo, the fact that you called out Martha Stewart as the first name that popped into your head is even wild to begin with.
I don't even know if she has
83-year-old white lady and Jason shouting her out. Like, it's, that falls in line.
I know there are chefs on there that have OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right.
Chef's cooking, huh?
Donald, this got off the rails real quick.
It did.
Jay, you gotta rein it in, man. What are you doing?
It did. And we was on the road to WrestleMania, and then we took a complete hard left.
Hey, Taekwon.
Young Reba, don't even start. Look, I don't need you and Taekwon. This is not your stepbrothers that we just becomes best friends moment.
Young Barbara Streisand, young Dolly Parton.
Bang, young bang. Barbara Streisand.
She was hot young.
Yo, I can't get over the beak. Like the beak, the nose is the nose, no matter if she's young or
right.
old.
That ain't
you're terrible.
I'm terrible?
You're superficial. Shallow. Shame.
Oh, you just want to be with Barbara? You just want to be with Barbara because of
cancel this man. Cancel this
you just
man.
You just want to be with Barbara because of her voice? That's what it is? Her song take, the way she sings is what got you to Barbara?
The way she warbles.
That's not even a word. You just made that up.
Don't lie. Just be like, it's about the money. It's just about the money.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on episode 176 of the Dumb Marks podcast. Finally, the road to WrestleMania. You know, WrestleMania. This is what the show was about, WrestleMania.
Jason took Bang Bang Scissor Gang to a whole new level on this show.
Catch us at dumbmarks.pod on all of our social media accounts.
You know, dumbmarks.
I'll bad. But Spotify, make sure you go to Spotify. You like us. That is the main thing.
We're also on Twitter. Like,
hey, everybody talks about us, but you're not on Spotify. You know what?
Oh, I'm yeah.
I'm about to make some knocks at the door, you know, because I know some people that listen to us, but they're not on Spotify.
Not only that.
I ain't on Spotify.
we got a lot of people out there recreating the Mount Rushmore Jabroni and just calling it something different.
Oh yes, I
see
saw
y'all
that
out there with your clips.
I, That's all of that.
We're not going to get into podcast wars right now. Okay, we don't need that. We're an hour and 11 into it, but don't just know we see y'all out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ain't first, you're last. And in this case, y'all are last because we was the first ones to do it. It don't matter what you retitle the episode as. All right? You can't come and take the format and claim it your own. But we got you. Okay?
Yeah.
See you out there. Mm-hmm. Don't make me start dropping names.
I specialize in a nice set of skills that I learned. We'll leave it at that. So on the
good way to end it right there.
Yeah, we had Seamus still our After Dark color scheme. We don't need you guys taking on fucking format of the show.
Any final thoughts from you, gentlemen?
I think we said it.
All right, positive quote of the week from one of my favorite animes, Kenshin. Kenshin Himura himself said, "Perhaps the distance part of the sky always seems clearest, so that we always strive to reach it."
You don't have to text that one to Chris to put it up. He can't write that down after you talk about it.
I don't even know what the fuck you
were saying. Hey, that's your big mustard? Who's that come from?
Read it back one more time.
I will, yes.
Sky blue. This is what I see.
Look at your mind.
He spoke that in anime. That wasn't English.
It is.
We need subtitles for this quote.
Yes. You're right, Tycoin. It is your Rony Kenshin. That's the name of the show.
But the main over here.
Yeah. Perhaps the distant part of the sky always seems clearest, so that we will always strive to reach it. And with that, my call sign, like always, to be the man. You got to beat the man. And in this podcast, we are the men to beat. So challenge us.
I just talked about podcasts ripping off our gimmick, and you're still in the Nature Boys freaking tagging.
He's a legend. He's nowhere near.
Hey, tune in next week. Nobody. We're just coming in and just shooting shit. And